Welcome, everybody, back to the Game Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark, and for the final time for a while, I'm joined by Tom. How are you doing, Tom?
I am doing well. I'm in baby overdrive mode, trying to get everything ready for upcoming Vaulter number 2 or 3, depending on where we end up.
Yeah. So, for those of you that might be your first Game Ball Podcast, our third member is already on hiatus because she is pregnant and going to be giving birth to a child maybe before this podcast airs, question mark.
Anything could happen, Mark. They could both be born before this airs. They could neither of them be born before this airs, so we'll see.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, and Tom's wife is pregnant again with their second child, and she might be born before this podcast airs. So those out there, we are recording on a Thursday because we knew it was not happening tonight for Tom, hopefully. And we didn't want to take the chance since both pregnancies are about in their late 30s weeks. So you have us here. We'll mention at the end what the future the podcast is, but for now, Tom, we need to talk Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It's more of a let me get my spiel out of the way.
Okay.
Just because I believe I've finished it since the last podcast.
I don't think you finished before the last episode.
Yeah. So I came in at 91 hours. I didn't 100% everything. Just because the only things left were some side missions, and really I could have went back and 100% it, to be completely honest with you, except for one mission, which you'll find out way later, Tom, because that one's probably one of the harder ones in the game. But at that point, I really just did the side quests to make sure I got the correct date. And then I was just like, you know what? I'll do all these, and like, you can go back to chapter select. Like, they were all side quests. I did all the world intels for every region.
Yeah.
So, you know, that part of it, 100%. And even though I technically didn't get the trophy because there's a, it's tied to something else that it shouldn't really be tied to. And I've heard these trophies are fucked in terms of how hard it is to get the platinum in them. So I'm not surprised that I didn't get it. Not the platinum, getting the trophy for world intel.
Yeah.
But yeah, I absolutely adored this game. Probably ends up a 9.5 for me. I think, honestly, it's probably the same issue I had with Remake, which I probably also would have given a 9.5 or 9. Is that just the ending is good, but you need to think about it for a few days before you like get it. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not, if you know what I'm saying. Like,
some audiences may have a problem with that.
Yeah. Like, it's like what I thought in a moment. And then when I went back and watched the cutscenes again, and I'm like, oh no, that's not what happened at all. And then you start piecing everything together. I think that's the only thing that keeps it from a 10 for me, is I really wish that, while once you figure out, and this is not me saying it's a bad ending, I actually really, really do like what they did with the ending, but I wish that I had that love for it immediately, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, like the end of, you know, I'll pick a random game, like the end of the first Last of Us, you know, at the end, I'm like, yes, okay, I get, not these games are a little more complicated than that, but sort of like, yes, I get that ending. It makes sense, you know, could other choices have been made by characters? Yes, but at least I understand like the ending. I hope that the final story in part 3 is a lot easier digestible, which I'm hoping it is. But yeah, things I can talk about that won't spoil anything for you. There's only one mini game I really disliked. I got it after a while, but I think it was needlessly overcomplicated. I don't think you're there yet, Tom.
Which one was it?
It's, are you a Cosmo Canyon?
Not yet.
Okay, then you have not ran into this minigame.
Okay.
I understood it. I've seen some streamers that completely be baffled by it.
You can spoil a minigame, Mark. I'm not worried about it.
No, it's a okay. I'm trying because I don't even think you'll understand if I say it. So it's a game that's built on gambits, like Final Fantasy 12.
Okay.
And it's like needlessly menu complicated in the sense that, you know, figuring out if you remember Final Fantasy 12, where you had to give your guys things and, you know, there's different kinds of elements and flying and all this other stuff. And you really have no control in whenever they use things, you just sort of send them out there. The system at first is needlessly overcomplicated. But once you play it a few times, you sort of get it. It's the only one I really dislike because I'm like, yeah, come on, you could have made this a little simpler and then made hard mode, you know, be the one that was complicated, like that you had to constantly like figure out all the right gambits and stuff. There's literally a Zerg rush thing to beat the final boss. That's really cheese on there. But yeah, outside of this, the sad part is because it's part of the Proto Relic thing, just to let you know, like how they have things connected to the Proto Relics.
Right.
The story with the Proto Relic is probably the best one of the game. And that's why it's sad to me that that was tied in, you know, with this. But yeah, the combat is amazing once you start figuring things out. And then I'm listening to other people talk about it and things that I didn't even think to do. And going, oh, yeah, that's right. You can do that. I completely forgot that they told you could do that. Is just the combat system is one of the best I've ever played. At least, you know, from my perspective, obviously other people have different types of combat they love. Yeah, there's a whole thing where I didn't realize that Cloud wasn't the only one that had an air launcher. You know, you can do it with like two or three of the other characters, and sometimes they're tied to the R1 button thing.
Mm-hmm.
And once I heard that, I was like, fuck, I could have made some of these enemies so much easier. The one final thing I'll say story-wise and totally, and then I want to see where you're at and where your head's at, because you're a much bigger fan than I am of this game, of this series. They do a really good thing where if you, like, you know ahead of time, Tom, I've told you, you can go back chapter select if you want.
Yeah.
They do a really good thing where at one point the story is just like, fuck it, I just want to go, you know? Even though you have so many of the things left for the world intel.
I'm sure you'll get to a point where like, man, I really need to get past this to get to whatever I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you hit that point eventually.
Yeah, they hit a point where let's go into the next region. And you're like, yeah, we really have to get to that next region. And then you look and you're like, shit, I've only done 6 of the world intel quests here and there's 12 more. You know, they do a really good job of that for people that just want to. I feel like I want to go back right before we do our spoiler cast and just mainline the story. Like, take New Game Plus, play it on easy, and just, you know, just do main quest only. Just to redo the story and see how it works as a cohesive video game when you're not getting any of the side content. Which, sadly, a lot of good stories are out there. So, yeah. Yeah, I am very, very impressed with this game. Obviously, at this point, it's game of the year. But there are some games coming down the pike that could knock it off. But this, I could honestly say my playthrough of this, through maybe I'm still in the honeymoon phase of it, I could put it probably easily in the top 15 games I've ever played, possibly top 10.
Impressive.
Yeah, just because it 98% of what it does works, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like 2% that doesn't, and a lot of that might just be a personal thing more than the game itself, and some of it might be a little bit of the devs trying to be coy and cheeky with story. But yeah, I think it's really impressive for what they had in front of them, and I'll leave you with the line that I've been saying to everybody. I played it, and you already know what I'm going to say, Tom. I'm so glad that I played 135 hours and I have finally completed disc 1.
Yeah,
because it is amazing that all of this is just the first disc of the original game.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, disc 3 is like just the final dungeon.
No, I know, but it's just
I know. I know what you mean. Disc two is like the weapons and raid on Midgar. And disc, and then disc three is like the end. Yeah. So I get it.
It's just amazing to think about, even though when you actually break it down like you just did, it's not actually that crazy. But just the thought of how many hours between this and Remake, it might even be like 140. I think I might have finished at 50 hours in Remake. But yeah, it's just crazy.
The thing with this part is that they didn't have to try to expand an entire section of the game by a long shot. Like, trying to make Midgar a 70-hour game or whatever it turned out to be had to be difficult, where they had a lot more stuff to work with this time around.
Yeah.
Which I think helped. I think it helped. I think so. I mean, I'm 30 hours in. I think it's helped an immense amount.
Yeah. So switch over to you. Where are you at? What's the last thing you did? Like,
I'm in
without being too spoil.
I'm in Coral.
You're in Coral. Okay.
I just did a side quest where you had to find a robed man. That doesn't give too much away.
Okay.
In a cave.
Yeah.
So
no saucer yet.
No, this, I'm like right before, I've done everything you can before you go to the saucer.
Okay. No, the only reason I ask is because some people that have played out there saying you're in Corel, that's an entire region in this game.
Oh, right. I've gone through, what's it called? I've gone through Costa del Sol and now I'm in Coral.
Yeah. So,
did they say Corel or Coral? I can't ever remember.
I think they say Corel.
Okay.
I'll have to check. I correct us on Twitter, formerly known, or X, formerly known as Twitter. If we are mispronouncing
it. I've always said Corel, but I don't know. I don't know what, because I've never heard it spoken before.
Well, it's always the Mako Mako thing.
Well, now they've said it's Mako, so now it's Mako. But before that, who knew?
There's so many things like reading. Sorry for this tangent, but like I've heard people with like Junon and Junin, and the famous Tidus Titus for Final Fantasy X. You know, it's just fun having voice acting.
Yes, you know, and I'm very thankful that they have voice acting, because there's all kind of, like the whole Kate Sith thing is. It's been argued for years how you say it.
Yeah, and I think they just went with the easy saying because it's easy to translate than have.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you can have arguments either way, but I think they just went with the easier pronunciation. And probably honestly, you could work it into that the characters named that because the Shinra people really don't care about traditions of other cultures.
No, they don't give a shit.
You know, like, you can actually play that into the story as to why it's pronounced wrong. It's because they don't care. but anyway, I'm glad that you're at the saucer. I'll let you get your thoughts, because you're about to meet probably my favorite character in the game in terms of, he is surprisingly really good. As I'm watching through, like, Max and Co-Carnage the game.
Before we get, well, I haven't met him yet, so I can't say anything, but I have to say, I think you're a little you're a little rough on Yuffie.
Okay. Let me do my revised Yuffie statement, because 20 hours passed in the game since we last spoke on this podcast.
Yeah.
They did the thing I was saying that would redeem her for me.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said that, because I don't think she was as bad as you made it out to be.
You're getting the turn started for me in the next region you're going to go to.
Well, yeah, when the bad thing happens, I'm sure. When we run into something terrible happening. So you don't have to say anything.
She has a really cute moment in that town. And I'm like, oh, okay, I get the young thing. It was just the...
it's an initial shock. Yeah, it's weird. I agree.
Yeah,
she's a little weird to start.
Yeah, the whole thing, and I think it helped that I watched, you know, other people play through it as well and just saw things. But it was just the one main thing that thankfully, was the materia thing. I think they leaned too heavily into that in the beginning. But just like as you play through it and you see other characters in the game, it's all part of like it's their wall they put up, like her whole thing about just caring about materia, not caring about anything else. Is just sort of her way of, you know, coping with things.
Yeah.
And, you know, they finally kind of showed that a little bit really late in the game. And I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, I was, you know, a little unfair to her, but that whole thing, you know, like maybe because she was the comic relief and didn't really hit the comedic parts as much as maybe for me personally, as she was supposed to. I think Kate hits one more. Kate and Aerith sort of hit the, you know, comedic moments a lot better than anyone else on the cast, even though, man, Barrett's so good sometimes. Just because
Barrett's good too. But I do have to say there was a moment I was playing last night and I laughed out loud. When you were climbing Mount Carell and Aerith starts getting a climber's high.
Oh, that's one of my favorite parts in the game too.
and Red's just like, he says something to, he's like, why? And the way Cloud just reacts to what Red says just made me laugh literally out loud. Yeah, and I was so happy with that. My wife's like, what are you laughing about? Like, it was funny. It was a funny moment.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And like I said, there's so many good moments. I think the problem is the other characters sort of, until like, I would say after the point I was at when we last spoke, her comedy seemed to be trying too hard at times, and that's one of my pet peeves. But as it went along, you know, she got better. But there, the one goofy scene early on that I enjoyed, and I think it's more Cloud than anything, is when she does her introduction at Costa del Sol, and then Cloud just goes, "Cool." And walks away. it might be the singular best moment in the game.
That's how they reacted to her in the original game too. Yeah. You're kind of supposed to not give her the time of day.
Yeah.
So she wants to come with you to prove herself. So yeah. I think they did that really well.
But that, like, it's just the timing on it. It's great. Like, we'll spoil it slightly for you because at this point, if you're playing this game really to love it, You probably got the Coast of Del Sol at this point.
Yeah.
So they do a whole anime opening like they did for Intermission when she introduces herself. And then it just cuts the Cloud and there's a beat and he goes, "Cool," and just walks off screen. And she's like, wait. And the way Cameron, I believe that's the voice actor's name, just delivers that like deadpan, like as Cloud would, in the mental state he's currently in at that moment. It's perfect. And then the funny part, the nod back to the game, is that if you keep answering like you should in the game, they keep playing it off, but like there's no way to fail it.
Yeah.
You know, spoilers, you know, there's no way to fail it, but you can play it like you did in the game.
If you could play it like the original game and give her all the answers that you're supposed to, or you can put anything else in it. It'll
stay there. I literally just answered with like, she challenges to fight you, and I'm like, okay. And Cloud grabs the sword.
I did too. He grabs the sword. She's like, are you serious?
She's like, whoa. But yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, your thoughts on combat, all that good stuff, 30 hours in, where you at?
Combat's incredible. I feel like in Remake, I didn't get the hang of using the commands as much as I do now. I feel like I've gotten a really good grasp on that and being able to use different people's abilities and strengths. By the way, Yuffie's broken.
Oh, yeah.
Just having Yuffie in your party, like when you're just Yuffie, when you go through, there's a part in the game where Yuffie's the leader, it plays really well. But once you have Yuffie in your party and you have Cloud and you have whoever else you want, you pretty much roll through whatever you're fighting at that point.
Yeah. If you play her right, she's not even the most broken character. If you play, you know, well, the only one you haven't met yet.
I'm sure he's the most broken character in Final Fantasy VII. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. So far combat is great. I know I can understand where people are upset about how many mini games there are in the beginning. Yeah. But I feel like once you get past Junin and Costa del Sol, there's a lot less mini games, and you're really getting into the story at that point.
Yeah.
So they kind of front load all the mini games, and I'm sure there's going to be mini games for each.
Relic, because just for the people out there listening, yes, we know we know the Gold Saucer's coming up. So
yeah,
that's already known minigame. So we're excluding that from Tom's thoughts here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I understand where that comes from, but you don't have to play them. That's the best part. You could get through all of this without playing them and not have a bad time.
Oh, they are all fully optional. I think there's three so far that are mandatory, and they're all Costa del Sol.
Yeah.
And I think there's one coming up for you in the saucer, and it's not even the full game.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you could, that's the beauty of this game, is that you could play it however you want. You could play it so you're doing every single thing like we are, at least in the beginning.
Yeah.
Or you could play it where you just mainline it and do the stuff that you want to do because you feel like it. I mean, it's a very versatile game, and I'm glad I didn't have to do any sneaking missions to get my chocobo this time.
Yeah.
So far, that has literally been the worst part of the game is sneaking to get a chocobo. And if that's the worst thing I've dealt with, I'm doing pretty damn good.
Yeah. And yeah, I think the last chocobo is not a sneaking mission, but it's a little bit of a pain in the ass. I think the next one is, but you know, at this point, if that's the worst, as you said, then it's pretty good.
Yeah. Exactly. If chocobo stuff is the worst thing I'm dealing with, it's about normal, because chocobo stuff is the worst thing you dealt with in the original game, because it was a pain in the ass to get chocobos and breed them all the way up. And so, yeah, I'm not too worried about that either.
And I just forgot there's two mini games that you're forced to do with Gold Saucer. You just reminded me of the one that's story locked.
Well, yeah, there's definitely one that's story locked because of what happens.
Yeah, you already know. So
I'm coming in understanding and realizing, you know, there's stuff they want to give you a break from the heavy stuff, because there's a lot of heavy stuff in this game, more than I feel like has really been talked about or I've noticed, at least. There's a lot of heavy stuff in the original, but this is, you know, you're getting more of it because it's more story driven at this point. And it's just what it is. I don't have a problem with it. I've, like I said, I've really been enjoying this. Yeah. I'm sad that I'm going to have to take a break from it.
Yeah.
You know, that little things. I have a child.
Be a father.
That's a bit more important, but, maybe I'll use it as my mental break when she's sleeping.
Yeah. I want to quote one of my favorite quotes from Easy Allies did the spoiler cast with Max, which is 4 hours long, by the way, Tom. So we have a challenge.
I don't know that we're going to go 4 hours, but we could try.
And Max was like, we could have kept going, but my voice. Huber said on there, he was like, not only is Final Fantasy Rebirth the greatest game, one of the greatest games of all times, it also has the second greatest game of all time, Queen's Blood.
Yes. Yes, it does. And I think I've now figured out Queen's Blood. Mm-hmm. I was doing okay in the beginning, but I feel like it's clicked now.
Yeah.
And I've realized what I have to do to make it work.
Yeah. The one word of advice I'll give you, if you're going to play all the way through to the end of that storyline, because it is technically a really long side quest.
It sounds right.
Learn how to use the destruct decks.
Now, see, that's the one thing I have not touched is destruct stuff.
Yeah, even if you just like replay, because I think you can replay people you beat. Even if you just replay someone and just go in and try to learn, because the destruct decks, and then you have cards that get points when cards are destroyed.
Yeah.
That are like passive ability. You know, start learning like how to do those cards, because, like any card game, once they start adding new rules, like destruct decks and things, destruct cards and things like that, the other players start using them.
Yeah, so, I've definitely run, once I hit level 5, I've seen it a lot more.
Yeah.
So, I'm running into that.
Yeah, if you have time, just take a game or two and just practice it. It'll save you time in the later games.
I've come up with a strategy. I tried to do my best to take over the board first and then worry about everything else. I feel like that's been my best strategy so far.
Yeah, that's mostly what you have to do. And as you get deeper into the game, it's just learning about passive cards, to be honest, to give you points on the back end while, you know, while you're doing stuff going forward. Cards in your first lane are just getting points.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I didn't think of until like 2/3 of the way through the story, you only need to win one lane if you win it by a whole lot.
You need, yeah, you just need to win one by like 20.
Yeah. So if you ever get in a situation where it looks like, wow, I'm really dominating this one lane, I should spread out the points. Don't. Nope,
don't do it. Just, just ball out on the one and get and score 30 points on one, and then you, yeah, you're pretty much covered.
Yeah, so that's for other people out there playing Queens, but you only have to win one lane. You just have to have more points than him or her.
Yeah, and you don't even have to win two lanes. You could tie.
Tie, yeah.
You could tie a lane and then yeah. And then the other one, you just win.
Win more than he, yeah, or tie two and win one. Like that was my thing that lost me a couple of things. Like, I did restart. I didn't ever actually lose. Restart was when I was early on trying to spread out, you know, the points.
Yeah, I was doing the same. I was trying to win every lane, and then I discovered that I don't have to win. I just have to at least win one and keep myself from losing two badly in the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would 100% play a phone Queen's Blood game. 100%. Yeah. I don't know if it's the Marvel Snap that I got into, or before that Inscription, and then playing a little bit of Gwent, you know, just getting in that thing that I eventually get, you know, card games. Like, and not get them. I'm probably not as good as people to, you know, deep into Magic and stuff like that. But, you know, now I'm like, yeah, give me a, I will pay $9 to Apple to play a phone game version of Queen's Blood. Even though I never put any money into Marvel Snap or, you know, other phone games, but I was like, I will pay you, Square, real actual money to play Queen's Blood.
Queen's Blood has legs. I feel like it could very easily become a big thing.
Yeah.
And they could even release real cards.
Yeah. And they got it
that way.
And they got to, they could, but that would take a lot of math, to be honest.
That's how card games are, Mark.
No. But I mean, but in terms of, it's not like just throw a card down and like, you know, like you get the cards.
You got to add stuff to some cards.
That's what I meant by a lot of math. It's like, this card gets like +2 every time a card gets destroyed. Well, how many cards have been destroyed? Both mine and theirs? 7? Okay, that's 14 more points for this guy. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of crazy. But they could. I mean, they could do physical cards. I mean, I would just buy the cards. I wouldn't even really need to play. But yeah, it's 100%. I think they have to go phone game. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Gwent tried to do the Hearthstone thing and go out on computers. And I think that's where it lost its thing, is because it costs a little bit more to produce a computer game than it is a phone game.
I would stick to phones. Mobile for sure.
Yeah, I would follow the Marvel Snap idea. And my final question for you, because we're going to be talking about this no more at this point until the spoiler cast.
Yeah.
Actually, two questions, because I do want to end with something. What did you think of the mini games in Costa del Sol?
I had no problem with
it. Any outside of the Queen's Blood, because we already talked about that. Of the other two, did you have a favorite? Did it take you long to figure one out?
So the worst one by far is the hell is it called?
Is it the one with red?
Fake Rocket League.
Yeah.
That's the worst. That's the worst one by far.
Yeah.
Just because the controls are a little goofy.
And also, if you're even slightly colorblind, it's
some of them definitely look the same. But I especially the pirate one didn't have a problem with that. I heard people like being very upset about it, but I had issues.
Your game was probably much easier than my pirate shooting game, because I did not take it off performance mode. Or quality mode, or whatever.
I also turned off the triggers. I turned off the adaptive triggers, which made a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just, yeah, it was funny. I was like, oh yeah, playing as at 60, I'd be doing a lot better, wouldn't I?
Yeah, it definitely didn't hurt to be on performance mode at that point.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm glad I didn't want to lead you because I was pretty sure you weren't going to like when I played Run Wild. I was like, this is just going to be frustrating for Tom because it has such a simple concept and they make it so complicated.
It's just difficult because yeah. Red does not control well. And yeah. It took me a while to just figure out what I was doing to get him to move right.
Yeah.
But once I figured it out, I basically just scored once in everybody's goal and then just played defense the whole time. That was it. That was my strategy.
I literally, when I figured out it and got the highest rank thing on that, I knocked everyone out. I went through and I scored 5 goals on everyone's goal. And
yeah, I didn't do that. I scored once on everybody, and then I played defense, and I was in first place, and they were all behind me. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the simple way to do it. I think I ended up getting 2 goals or 3 goals let in on me, but everyone else was like, I got them down to 0, and it just takes them off the board. Like, the players are even gone. Mm-hmm. So it cleared up stuff. I noticed that the first time when I tied for first, that I eliminated the chocobos, and then when I eliminated them, they were no longer on the field. And
I'm that like, makes life easier.
Huh. So yeah. I immediately went for the fucking wolves when I played the next time. I took out the wolves, and then it was just easy pickings from there. But
yeah. the chocobos are definitely the easiest to get out.
Yeah.
They don't put up much of a fight.
Yeah. And then the other ones, you can just do the hit it up in the air over them, the actual animals.
Mm-hmm.
And my final thing, I'm trying to think where you are in the story. I'll ask this one question, not a spoiler for you, but... Have you seen Zach again yet?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, 28, 30 hours? When did he pop in? Okay.
Yeah, about that. About 30 hours.
Okay. I
was like, just show me this. I don't care about anything else now. Just show me that.
It's such a short cutscene, too, after 30 hours. It's so funny. I laughed out loud.
Throw those little things in there each time, and... It's annoying because I want to see more, but I know why they did it because I can't show you everything at once.
Yeah, and I'll let you know to get you excited. That is the shortest flashback.
Good, because the first one was short too. The opening of the game.
Yeah, the rest of them have more story in it, but
that's good.
Yeah, but I literally cackled when that cutscene happened, and it was like a minute and a half, maybe.
I was kind of annoyed. I was like, that's it? That's all we're getting?
Yeah. But my final thought is, do you have, and I'm not going to comment at all on what you say.
Okay.
Do you have any theories on anything, where it's going? Any thoughts?
Do I have any thoughts? Not really. I mean, I have a thought that there's going to be, it's an alternate timeline, because I think that's probably the most... rational thing to when you're seeing this take place.
Yeah, I'm talking about the game overall, just to let you know. So, not just Zach.
And overall, I don't really have a theory yet, because right now, all right, everybody, take 30 seconds. I'm not gonna spoil anything, but I'm not gonna not talk about what I want to talk about.
Okay. Good.
Things are not that different right now than they were in the original game. If you understand what I mean.
Yep.
They have not strayed from the story at all, which is weird because you would have thought that they would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's
okay.
And spoiler moment.
Yeah.
But yes. I'm like 38 hours in, so I need a bit more. I need to get to the next town. Well, really I need to get through the Gold Saucer because a lot of stuff happens at the Gold Saucer.
Yeah. I said you're at the tipping point.
Yeah.
With the story. And my final question, and we can revisit this on the spoiler cast, and obviously we won't spoil anything, but going from what you've seen in the game, does the thing happen at the end of the game that should happen?
I don't know. That's one of my questions because of what happens in Remake, I don't know that what's supposed to happen is going to happen. Also, the whole materia thing is weird too, and the observations she made about the materia so far has got me asking questions that I just don't know.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at right now.
Got it. And I have a theory about the big giant things with the giant materia too. When we get the spoiler cast,
I mean, I got there. I don't know that I was very confused by that.
Yeah. No, I mean, you'll learn things later that I don't want to talk about right now with you is why I said, we'll wait till the spoiler cast.
I just need something, because that's not how it goes in the original game. That's the only thing so far that's been different.
Yeah. And you're going to be getting to it soon.
Okay.
Why it's different.
Because obviously they show up for a different reason in the original.
That is our Final Fantasy Rebirth talk.
That's our Rebirth talking around Final Fantasy Rebirth.
Exactly.
20 minutes.
Yeah. 30 minutes. So, only other things I've done is with March Madness around, I played the last college basketball game on the emulator, one here. I'm so anxious playing that game, because that game has a history of crashing. Like, even when it was on the Xbox or PS3, like, it would just randomly crash.
Some of those old sports games just did not get along with
consoles. Yeah, it's a very famous game for just crashing in the middle of a game. Thankfully, the only soft lock I had allowed me to pause and quit the game and restart the game.
That's cool.
So I wasn't fully hard locked where I lost if I didn't save. Because that happened before. I've gotten into the mode where I save after every game now. Back when I was a kid playing the game, I say kid, I was in my 20s. you know, I wouldn't save for a few games, and then it would freeze in the middle, and I'm like, fuck, I gotta play all those games again. But yeah, so anxiety ridden, but that game is still, it's one of those games where I've had sort of a slight, I don't know if it's a Mandela effect, but in my head, that game looks different than it actually is. Like, my memory of playing that game is much different than. I don't know if it's because this is PS3 and I played on a 360. Maybe it looked different.
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
Yeah. But yeah, I was just like, this is, I mean, everything else around it, the presentation all looks really good. I wonder if the 360 game had a little more bells and whistles or something. But yeah, so that was the other game I played. I played some NHL too, because I needed something to play while watching through Max and Co. play the games and not be on TikTok. I was like, I need to be off TikTok because I'm not paying attention to the, you know, I'm not digesting anything. So playing the hockey game while that's the only audio in the room, the stream allows me to digest with their reactions. But I am excited. I'm on the fence about possibly purchasing a game to play. I don't know if I'll stream it or not, but you know, I keep going back and forth on whether to jump in and just buy Infinite Wealth, the Like a Dragon 8.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's another big ass long game.
I feel like you need a palate cleanser.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm just thinking, like, right now I took like a week break, like Saturday. I know I said on the last podcast I'd probably be streaming again at some point. When we streamed Mega Man, or maybe it was Chrono Trigger, whichever one. But I think I took a week. I was like, I played way too much video games. mentally. So this weekend you would have already seen I've been back playing Persona 3. But I'm thinking of my palate cleanser, maybe bringing back streaming American Truck Simulator. Because I just bought the Kansas DLC. So
I think that's very, yeah, very good. I think it's a good palate cleanser.
Yeah. So have you jumped into anything else? Any updates on Mr. Stuff or anything?
I loaded up the newest show, created a character, and I got through like the first 2 days of the what's it called?
Road to the Show.
Yeah, the initial.
The combine showcase, or whatever they make you do.
Yeah, the showcase or whatever it is. Yeah. So I did that. It seemed a little better. I haven't gotten too far into it, but it seems a little better than it was previously. But yeah, other than that, not a whole lot.
Yeah. I can feel that you were trying to get as much Rebirth in before the baby comes.
Yes. So that is for sure. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So Yeah, yeah. So if you guys have any thoughts, be sure, make sure you don't say anything after or from anything from the Golden Saucer forward. If you do it on the Twitters, for Tom's sake, he may not even look at it because he's too busy taking care of a child. But for others out there, please do so. I will. Yeah, I may do. Maybe I'll do something just to get all my thoughts out there. If anybody actually wants to hear, I'll mention it on stream on Saturday as well with people there. Just maybe a video on YouTube with my thoughts, with some game footage playing in the background or some dumb shit like that. We'll see how that goes. But we are going to do a spoiler cast once Tom finishes it, because I literally just want to sit back and hear Tom talk the game, to be honest. So let's get into the news. One real quick thing. I'm not even going to read what the news is really about, but the number in the headline just jumped out to me, and I had to. So No Man's Sky put in a big update recently in the last week or so.
Okay.
I'll give you one guess. What number update is this, Tom?
No Man's Sky came out in 2018, right?
No.
2017?
No. It was the first year of our Extra Life.
Which was oh, okay. 20. So that was 2014?
15? Yeah, 14 or 15, somewhere around there. Yeah.
I'm going to say this is update number 2600.
Well, those first two numbers are actually pretty damn close. It's update number 27 for the game.
For No Man's Sky, they've only updated it 27 times.
Well, they say these major updates. You know, in terms of...
That's where I was mistaken. Okay. I was thinking overall. Yeah. No, so major updates, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. But that's 27 major updates. At this point, you could have just made a new game.
Which I'm surprised they haven't.
Well, he is trying to make a game, and then he apparently hasn't learned his lesson on hyping something.
Yeah.
From his appearance on the Game
Awards. Yeah. That was not smart.
But anyway, 27th one, and it seems like it's pretty big. They're calling it the Omega expansion, so maybe it's the last one, like maybe something like that, for whatever they've been doing. But yeah, I just saw that number 27 and I just had to bring it up on the podcast. To be honest,
I was thinking minimal updates, but that's a lot of like big time updates.
in a decade possibly period.
And the fact that the game is still around now and it's still receiving updates is great.
I played it like 6 months ago or something, just popped it in, loaded it back up real fast, and the game is much better. I just don't have the patience to go back and relearn everything again.
Only that, there's just so much crap to do.
Yeah, it's like the same thing with Cyberpunk. Like, I downloaded the 2.0 update and it was like, hey, we redid all this stuff, you can go back in and play. I'm like, I already put like 60 hours in this game, and I kind of liked what I did. You eliminate the one cheese thing that I loved. So it's kind of like that when I loaded No Man's Sky.
I'm glad I didn't find a cheese in that game yet. I haven't gotten into that game yet enough to find that, because I would have been annoyed if they took something away like that.
Yeah. Now that it's gone, it was a thing called infection or something like that, to where you infect one person's thing, and then anybody nearby would get infected by it, and then it would sort of chain reaction. So I could stand outside a base, find the first person I see, hit them with that, and it would clear the base without me even needing to step in. And it was amazing.
That would have been nice. That would have been.
I was taking out skull enemies from 200 feet away. was
that's great. That's cheese if I've ever heard it.
So anyway, let's get into, we'll do some Final Fantasy news up front. Just get it done. Final Fantasy 16 hinted that it might come to other platforms after it goes on PC, but God knows when it's coming to PC. At this point, they're still working on the port. But it seems like, I think this is going to be a thing going forward for like smaller exclusive games. Not saying Final Fantasy 16 is smaller, but it's smaller than like Remake and Rebirth. Mm-hmm. In terms of audience, I think Sony and Microsoft are going to start, you know, sending games to Switch or to their own games or to, you know, just to try and get as much money out of the game as possible. I think they're going to stop worrying about, after like 2 years on the market, like worrying about exclusives.
I mean, it makes sense. It's not, I mean, you're just leaving money on the table.
Yeah.
When it comes to that.
Yeah. I think they're finally figuring that out, that you can do the exclusive for a year or two. Yeah. Or 18 months or whatever, but you got to just throw it on the other platforms. Just games are so expensive. Nowadays they just got to do that. But it was interesting that, you know, the producer, you know, Yoshi P, hints at that, which seems like it's a Square decision. And PlayStation's probably going along with it. And other Final Fantasy news, again, Mr. Yoshi P, or Yoshi P-san, is sparking and doing the little hints of a Final Fantasy IX remake coming out.
Didn't they have, they had a vote or something on it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just, yeah. The my thing is the reason why that would work is that I think 8 is too complicated in terms of, you know, the world you would have to build, because there's not even much, you know, it's just weird in terms of, you know, it's not like Final Fantasy VII is kind of more straightforward in terms of its world. 8 got a little complicated with things, and plus you'd have to redo the whole junction system because that was a complete misstep. But 9's the one that's kind of forgotten, and I think you could get people, you won't have as much of the criticism that some people have of 7 remake and all, because a good amount of people haven't played the actual 9. And I think there's a good enough story there that it'll work. And everybody's screaming for any of the SNES, the SNES ones to be remade. Those games are impossible to remake.
There's way too much going on in those to be able to remake them the way you want them to be remade.
Yeah. I mean, Chrono Trigger is like the probably the closest you could come to doing it. Because I think there's 13 or 14 characters in 6. And it's just insane. So 9 makes the most sense, unless we're just going to do a 10 remake, you know, a remaster remake of that. Even though they've remastered it a billion times. You know, it's the one to cash in on. But I honestly think if they do anything, you know, they may try to do a different series, like Chrono Trigger or something like that, a different Squaresoft, you know, series.
The whole thing with Chrono Trigger is people would just take an HD 2D remake.
Yeah.
I know I would. So just give us that.
I think 9 is the only game you can do the 7 treatment to. Maybe 8, but like I said, 8's way too futuristic and I think would be kind of difficult to pull off. And that story's even more batshit crazy than 7's story. There's time compression and shit in it that I don't want no more anywhere near it. But anyway, that was fun.
I agree with you that 9 is very much more straightforward than 8 is.
Yeah,
and I think it would be, you'd have an easier time doing that.
Yeah, you can mess around more in 9's story than you can with 8. Just because of the insanity of it. I love that they're just taking advantage of this game of Rebirth getting all 10s by just doing these interviews out there. So other news, Take-Two has bought Gearbox from Embracer and has announced possibly a Borderlands 4. So,
Get it away from Embracer, please.
And they're going to take advantage of the movie and all that. So good move there. I know Borderlands has its, haters. I was trying to think of a better word than haters, but maybe 4 helps with that if the movie, you know, does well. You lean a little bit more into that. Homeworld is also getting another game in development. So good news for those of you that like Gearbox games. I believe it is officially away from Embracer, so it has been unembraced. We might be getting content in that series. Another real quick one. For those of you still playing Call of Duty Warzone, they're adding bots for the first time to the game. But it's a mode called Boot Camp, and I think it's not the way you would want bots to be introduced, just from my quick reading of this. But it's interesting that they're finally figuring out that maybe you know, there's a segment of the population that loves Warzone but doesn't want to deal with the assholes that play, some of the assholes that play Warzone.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. And this is more of a me story that I want to put in. Don't Nod, you know, makers of my game of the year in, I forget what year that was, for Life is Strange, says that the, has seven games in the works, but it's sort of, you know, trying to make them what they're calling double A games, you know, around RPGs and narrative adventures and action adventure games with branches, branching paths. So basically the wheelhouse of where I think they're good at and not the chances they tried to take on some other things. So good to see studios kind of figuring it out too.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, there wasn't much in terms of big news there. If we want to talk about layoffs and stuff, but I didn't want our last episode to be depressing. And the final thing, because Xbox has not announced their games, unless they did it last week. PlayStation Plus games, going off our episode from last time about things to buy. They announced their things coming out for April. Immortals of Avrium, if you haven't played that game yet, which some people say, you know, is a lot better than the marketing allowed for. And it also came out during when two really big games hit at the same time. Minecraft Legends is on there, and Skull the Hero Slayers. I believe those may be the free games. And then, you know, the, you know, it's got, those are the big games coming for it, here. And you get a whole bunch of skins with Skull. So if anybody out there is playing that game. So yeah, the, if you have not downloaded your March games yet, which is F123, Sifu, and Hello Neighbor, and Destiny the Witch Queen, which... I
highly recommend it.
Yeah. Yeah, so go through and do that before next Tuesday, before the 2nd of April.
I do have a question for you, Mark. I saw something in the news today before we move on to our next thing. I heard rumblings of a possible Xbox handheld. Ooh. If this was to come out, would you purchase it?
Not sure. I definitely would not be an early adopter to that.
Now, you also have to think, this is going to have all Game Pass games.
Oh, okay.
Either streamable or downloadable to this device.
Yes. So let's rewind it more, so for more role play. Me personally, probably not, because I want to see if it actually works and is good. If you're looking for a way in and, you know, you can't, and it comes out cheaper than the console, or you live in a place where hooking is a system up to a television, like living with roommates and stuff like that, is not a possibility. Any Xbox handheld thing that's connected to Game Pass or anything, even that dongle they were going to put on the TVs, is 100% a purchase if you don't already have the console or anything. I think this is, no matter what they do with it, it is going to be better than the PlayStation thing that's out, without a doubt, just because of Game Pass.
I agree.
So yeah, as a, in a vacuum, you know, not me and my personal way I buy systems. I've only bought two systems at launch, ever. One was a mistake. One was probably a really good decision. Is that I usually wait a bit, just to see some of the kinks get out. But, I think it's a really good idea for Microsoft, just because I think PlayStation's going to go with a Pro instead of, you know, as they're in between, and I think Microsoft could get more, I think they could get more traction in even like a place like Japan and things like that by releasing a handheld instead of another home console for it.
Yeah, I think looking overseas, you're definitely looking at a bump up if you go the handheld route.
Yeah. I think they're both on the road that suits them. Like PlayStation likes to do the better upgrades, you know, in terms of graphics, and probably do native 120 or whatever, if that already can't be done. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to go to that. And Xbox, Microsoft needs to get into more markets, you know. So, you know, they're both, if they go this way, they're both going up the path that they need to. I'm just always waiting for the wild card that is Nintendo to see what the fuck they do with the new game. or a new system.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they could do something again with the Switch 2. They could do something completely crazy like Wii and knock it out of the park again with a new concept. Or they could make the Wii U. It's always a fun time to follow Nintendo stuff.
Yeah.
So, that's really interesting. I will keep an eye out for that for future content on the site.
Yep.
So, Tom, as we mentioned multiple times throughout this podcast, you are going to be leaving us to take care of a child who is now an enemy of Game Bolt. Just to let you know. Sorry. That's how it works.
At least for the first few months.
Since you've already been through this before, I think it was good idea to just talk through and maybe, you know, some questions I had and things that maybe community people have, like, how is gaming with a child? You can go, I know you don't know what it's like with two yet, but just through the first year or two of Peyton, you know, what have you learned and what advice can you give to first time dads out there? Or moms. So, let's not discriminate.
So I do have to say, for the first 6 months, nothing really changes. They sleep a lot in the beginning. So you will have plenty of time, especially if you're taking a maternity or paternity leave, you'll have plenty of time to play games. Because I think forget what game had just come out when she was born, but I was playing something and I had no trouble playing through it at all. So in the first 6 months, I would recommend that you either get a nice set of headphones, or if you're using a Switch, have a Bluetooth headset or something, just so you don't, if you're playing something with explosions, you're not waking up your child. Obviously, you want to continue to watch said child, so you might want to do open back headphones, so you can hear outside as well as what's in your head. That's generally what I do. So you have the ability, to hear what's going on around you and being able to listen at the same time. Yeah. That's a big one. But as they get older, this is where the question to Mark will make more sense. They take over your television. If you show them the television and there's something on there that they like, they're going to pretty much own it at that point. So, around age one and a half, you kind of need to come up with different ways to play your games. And personally, either having a handheld that you're playing on your Switch or being able to stream to your phone via PS Play or Xbox, either streaming or Game Pass streaming, those come in very handy. And having some sort of either a controller that connects to your phone via USB-C or Lightning, a telescopic controller, or having a controller with a mount for your phone, very helpful, because you can then play, a big time to play is when you're in bed right before you go to sleep, and I think that is it's definitely an adjustment, and you know, it is what it is. You get you're gonna have to learn to adapt in certain ways like that, because your life will become Bluey or Miss Rachel or whatever, Baby Shark, whatever, for a little while. It's just gonna happen. Unless you keep your child away from the television, which, hats off to you if you're able to do that.
So my first question, getting into this, is there any game or game type that you recommend people play, or is it just find the longest game in your backlog and just get through that?
I would recommend, especially since you're going to have to be playing in handheld mode, play a story-driven game, or play something that sparks nostalgia. If you're playing a Switch and you're playing in handheld mode, I think any type of platformer usually works pretty well. I think the new Mario Wonder game was great in handheld mode, but you could very well play, you know, Tears of the Kingdom because it's a story-driven game. I just think that having a long game is a good thing, but also having a game that you can just pick up and play for 10 minutes, 20 minutes is also a good thing.
Yeah.
Because once you get them down for a nap, if they only sleep for 30, 40 minutes, you usually are doing something else for 10 minutes, and then you get 10 minutes to sit down and play. So I would recommend you have two. Have yourself a game where you're going to sit down and you have time to play, and have a game that you can pick up and play for 10 minutes and be done.
Yeah. Yeah. And you may have answered this mostly during your opening, but one of the questions I wrote down for you was, what is the one thing that you learned from the first time around that you will take into baby number two?
So it's going to be different this time around because I have a 2-year-old now.
Yeah.
But it's going to be that when I get to take time for me, I need to take it. Like if they both go to bed at 8 o'clock or night or whatever, I'm going to take 2 hours and play through a game I want to play, or take an hour and a half and then get something done. Cause there's always going to be something to do around the house with a baby. Yeah. So, either get your stuff done first and then sit down and play, or sit down and play for an hour and then get your stuff done and go to bed. So that's really what I'll be taking into child number two, is give yourself a little bit of time for you, because you don't get that much anymore once your children come, and that's okay. That's how it's supposed to be. So make sure you get my advice to myself is to make sure you give yourself a little bit of me time.
Yeah. And that makes a ton of sense. And the other thing I was thinking of was, is there any tempting to try and find a game that you and the 2-year-old can play to sort of be like, hey, even though I'm watching you, we can still play?
Yes and no. So she likes to throw things.
Oh, okay.
So at the moment, it's probably not a great idea to try to get her to try to play a video game. I'd say in probably a year or so, we'll be there. Or maybe a few months. Who knows? She's getting better about it. But I don't know that she might like to watch something I'm playing. Like, she might think that Super Mario Wonder looks really cool and sit down and watch it. That's something else, is if you're going to play a game while your child's awake, or your 2-year-old is awake, or however old, try to make it age appropriate.
Yeah, obviously.
Because they may get interested in it. You know, if you're playing a Mario game with a 2 or 3-year-old, they might like all the colors and think that looks cool. And that's something I will be hopefully working on when I'm on paternity leave. I would like to get her interested. There's a lot of things I would like her to get interested in. And, you know, video games is one of them. And if she doesn't, that's fine. Yeah. But you never know.
Yeah.
It could go either way. She could be super into it. She could not care. So it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. I will say, as in a slightly different position, the one thing, advice I can give you, I guess, is don't let it frustrate you if she doesn't immediately like the same games as you.
No, yeah, I don't expect her to like anything that I like.
I'm not even talking, I should rephrase that. I'm not even talking like game genre. I'm talking like, hey, this one just wants to play this. Let's just use Roblox as an example. It could be a completely different thing by the time she gets into games.
Yeah.
But like, she's really into that, but I would like to play actual video games.
Yeah, no. Like, if she's playing games, I'll be happy about that, because it's like a gateway drug, you know? I mean, everybody has one. Everybody has a game that got them started in gaming. For us at the time, Super Mario Brothers was Roblox, you know?
Yeah. That's true. That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah.
So,
everybody's
got their in somehow.
Yeah. And the fun part for me is I got way too excited when I found out that the twin cousins I have are way into actual video games and not Roblox, mainly because their parents don't know how to set any of that up for them.
So that's your job now, Mark. Yeah. Uncle Mark.
No, I'm not sure I'm Roblox. I just gave them like 5 Switch games for their birthday.
No, that's what I mean. Like, it's your job to give them that video game stuff.
The parents
don't understand it.
Yep. And the one so excited really likes Zelda, And when I told them that I had a third Zelda game that came out, because I couldn't find Link's Awakening because I think Ashley has it. They were like, "There's another one?" I'm like, "Yes."
Little do you know, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, he meant specifically for the Switch.
Yeah.
He's like, "There's another one?" I'm like, "Yeah. This one's weird. I don't know if you'll like this one off the but I will show it to you." But that's my one thing. You already know this. You have younger cousins, and you know, you are the older brother. But I thought this was a good topic, you know, because we might have some first-time dad gamers out there, first-time mom gamers, or somebody that just got, you know, found out they're having a baby, and I want some advice from someone that's been there. And I thought it'd be a good way to cap off your final show here. So any final thoughts, anything you could think of that might have just popped in your head, or just any general?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to limit your time, obviously. You're not going to be able to sit down and play a game for 4 hours straight anymore. And you just have to be mentally prepared for that. It's going to be whatever your body can handle at that point, because you're probably going to be running on a lot less sleep than normal. And that's okay. You play when you can play and give yourself that time. Like I said, you gotta have a little time for mom or dad when all this stuff first starts. So yeah. Remember that.
Yep. And the best time, well, for first time parents, as we've discussed off podcast, second time, this statement's a little different.
Yes.
The best time, and it, with a first time child to keep doing the things for yourself is within those first, you said 6 months. I say within 2 or 3, where you can go out to dinner, you know, just, I'm sure the grandparents would love to just have the child in the house for 3 hours.
If you've got grandparents that live close, let them have some time with the baby too. If you need to get out and go out to dinner, I'm sure they will be fine with watching the baby for an hour or two.
Yeah, and those first couple months, like you said, they aren't doing much, so you don't have to worry about them running around the house or anything, and you know, being crazy for the mom. But yeah, that's my advice from seeing people like Tom and other family members and stuff of the baby is just on a non-gaming scale, it's just those first couple months they're not doing much but sleeping and pooping. So don't feel bad to hand them off to a family member, not hand them off, sounds like, but
sort of you're not abandoning
them. you can go to a movie, you can go eat at a restaurant if you have family members in the area that can sit with the child for 3-4 hours. It doesn't need to be an overnight thing or anything crazy like that, but still try and take time for yourself. And that includes gaming, as Tom said, like even if you find an hour before you go to bed, just if you need that to sort of, you know, work through the anxiety of the day. Don't feel guilty that you want to do that. That's healthy,
especially if it's something that helps you wind down.
Yeah.
I know for me, just exploring a world in a video game can definitely help me take my mind off of stuff and just relax.
Yeah.
So I know it helps people cope, and I'm one of those people.
Yeah. So. Good luck, Tom, from everyone out in the Game Vault audience. And good luck to Jen, who we weren't able to have this sort of segment with because she's dealing with the side of the pregnancy that is a little more unexpected than the one Tom is on. I
have the easy job right now. I don't have
that. Yeah.
I don't have the I'm not carrying the child, so it's definitely a bit different for Jen.
So we'll keep an eye on Twitter if Jen decides to do any social media announcements and stuff over at Roxy Foxy and all, if you are interested in, you know, name and all that stuff. So without further ado, let's go into a game that is about a dad creating a son to go fight his other sons that he created with another dad. We played Mega Man 2 for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
I've never heard it put that way, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, if you want to be reductive and break it down that way. Yes. So I'll start off with my thoughts. As I said, this is the only Mega Man game I've beaten, and I've beaten it two or three times at this point. This time through it, I just got through the six Robot Masters. I think I played one of Wily's stages. I did it a while ago. I just love this game because, you know, while it is difficult because you don't have as many options in terms of movement and stuff, for me, the simplicity makes it a little bit easier. I don't have to think like, oh, that was a slide time, you know, or, you know, like everything's just run and shoot and just learn the weapons.
I think sometimes these games are better when they have some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Limitation or restriction.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, maybe we could have done with the, you know, charge up gun, but then again, I would always forget to use it. So maybe it's better that it's not. My favorite part about Mega Man games in general is just that the arguments over the correct path. I thought I knew the correct path, then I reread it, or the one that I used, and then I pulled up the suggestion, like the list, and I figured out that I had sent Tom to the wrong third boss, because it is definitely Crash Man, then Bubble Man. But you would circle back. You wouldn't use Bubble Lead or Lead or however you call it, his weapon, until way later, but you want to get it early because the Metal Man gears, you know, destroy him very quickly. So if you hate water levels, you want to get that out. But
that level wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah.
It was one of the better water levels I've used, been on.
And I think the one bad advice I gave you, thinking back on the stream, is that you're absolutely supposed to use Flash to get through that section with the beams.
Yeah.
It's the only way to get through it. Unless if you like, now this isn't like a get good moment for you or even myself, but unless if you absolutely have that memorized and can air manipulate when you're falling with Mega Man. But I should have just had you do that from the beginning through that. But yeah, the best part about this one is that I think the other games do this as well, but again, I haven't gotten as far in them, is that, and most Mega Man games do this, what you learn in the six original or eight or whatever, depending on the game, original Robot Masters that you fight, all the lessons you learn there, you take them into the Wily stages, and that's how you get through those. Like, you sort of have to have the memory. Like, this is a game you have to play in back-to-back sittings, even though there's a password system, or all in one sitting. Which you can theoretically beat this game in like 2 hours.
You can't take a break from this game.
No, not for long periods of time, because you got to remember all the little tricks and enemies and stuff like that, to get through the Wily stages. The only thing that I absolutely hate about this game is I think the level that requires crash bombs, which you didn't get to, I think it's in the Wily stages, is needlessly hard, because you only get a certain amount of bombs, and if you miss by like a frame on attaching the bomb to something and it doesn't blow up what it's supposed to blow up, you literally have to die and start over the level.
Oh, that's the worst.
Like, there's no way to beat it. Like, I think you have like 8 crash bombs and you need 6 to complete the level. So that's the only thing that annoys me on that. But it's, again, it's a get good moment, people would say, from NES games. But outside of that, I love everything about this game. It's a game I go back to every so often. Not as much as, say, a Zelda or even a Mario. But, you know, if I'm just looking for something interesting or I want to show off to people different kinds of retro games, it's definitely one I pull to. But I'm interested in your thoughts because this was your first time playing it.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of background with Mega Man. Like we've said previously, Mega Man 6 was the only game I had in the series for quite a while, until recently, where I picked up Mega Man 2. So going back to this one was interesting. I'm not very good at Mega Man games. I don't know why. They never really clicked for me. This one felt a lot better to me for some reason than, say, 6, probably because, like we were talking about, there was that limitation, so you didn't have to learn all of these different moves just to make Mega Man do what you want him to do. He just jumps and shoots, and that's it. And you know, I got through a few levels in, you know, an hour and a half or whatever it was, and it was pretty nice. It was a nice little nostalgia trip, because Mega Man, even just music alone, will give you a nice nostalgia trip, because it's got great music. Mega Man always has great music. Level design can be a little shit.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you're doing. Case in point, the level we were talking about where you have to make your way through a bunch of beams, and if you don't have the correct weapon and you don't time it right, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
And you continue to be screwed until you either get Nintendo power, or ask your cousin whose dad works at Nintendo or whatever. You're just kind of sunk at that point, which sucks. Yeah. And I'm sure I was like that with the original, with Mega Man 6 back in the day. But yeah, it's definitely a bit flawed, but it's still an excellent game.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fun. It's kind of like, I feel, that it's like this to Mega Man 1 is kind of like the Street Fighter 2 to Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. In that this is the game where they finally figured out what the game was about, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, all the same elements are there in both games, even down to the stupid point system. I think this still has a point system. I know Mega Man 1 does, and it's such an arcade. Yeah, it's such an arcade relic.
It doesn't mean anything, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think this is where it's like, even you can even make the argument like with Resident Evil 2 as well. It's like where they figured out, oh, this is what this series needs to be. And they just, you know, went through with that and just iterated on it little by little. And, you know, it took a long time to take any chances with it. You know, until the X series and then Legends. And then each time they took a chance, they had to like sort of restart from zero in terms of fan love. You know, X was, you know, loved off the bat, but it's sort of like, you know,
they're just gonna relearn how to do it.
And it's sort of, you know, had that thing. But Mega Man 2 is all where it started with all this. You know, I don't know if it was for troll points or anything, but I saw a podcast I watched that's like Nintendo Focus that was picking like the Mount Rushmore of Capcom games, and they put Mega Man 2 in there just to show you how much people sort of remember this game.
I mean, Mega Man 2 is arguably the most popular Mega Man.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just really interesting. I like doing this with, you know, movies and sports and stuff. It's just like the games that just, even if you know there's a couple games in the series that might be better, like 3 might be the best game of them from what I heard of the original Mega Mans. Like 3 might be the peak of the series.
Yeah.
From some people, but everyone remembers 2. And that is something unique when it happens, and it's always interesting to see, you know, it's like one of those things that becomes a thing to like acknowledge a fellow person that's played these games for a while. It's like, oh yeah, Mega Man. Yeah, Mega Man 2, remember that? Yeah, and you're like, okay, I get you. We're there. But yeah, I absolutely enjoy playing this game. I don't know what else more I can say about it. It's a game that I wish could show to younger generations. But it's one of those that you might need to wait until, I think, the age threshold for showing them games like this is getting like older. Because it's sort of, they got to get an appreciation of games before, you know,
playing this a game. This would be like a rough game, rough first retro game to show somebody.
Yeah, I'm not even saying rough first. It's like you just take a game like Fortnite and things like that where there's a lot of shooting, you know, third person shooting, even though it's just side scrolling 2D, but sort of like they're so used to that level of quality and movement and stuff. And to go here and go, no, you can only jump. And you can't even jump that high in most cases. You know, it's just kind of a hard thing that it has to come from a place where they want to experience that stuff. And yeah, Mega Man 2 would be if Kitty Ashcat ever comes to me and goes, hey, I want to learn about NES games, I would definitely put that in the list of games for her to try. Just because it, you know, there are certain games that's like, all right, here are a certain amount of games. You're going to like some of these. And I need to know which ones they are to know what the next set of games to give you are. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, games like, you know, you go your Mario, Zelda, Mega Man, and, you know, you pick either Dragon Warrior or Final Fantasy. Probably Dragon Warrior, to be honest, because Final Fantasy 1's real weird.
Yeah, I would agree that you'd probably go Dragon Warrior there.
Yeah, to see if they like RPG.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's about it. Are you ready for your score?
I'm ready.
All right. For me, it's a 4 out of 5. The only thing that stops it from being a 5 out of 5 for me is you didn't get to experience this. Some of the Wily stages are just really unfair, and you have to really get the memorization down. And have some skill platforming, which is understandable, but just the memorization part for some of them, and being okay with getting hit, and just a bunch of things you got to learn in those stages that you don't learn in the other stages, just keeps this from being a perfect 5 out of 5 game for me.
I agree. 4 out of 5 for me. There are times when this game feels unfair and can be super annoying, but there's also times where the game is awesome, and it does all the things it's supposed to. So yeah, I'm gonna go 4 out of 5.
Yeah. So let us know on X, formerly known as Twitter, what your thoughts on Mega Man 2 is, and feel free to let me know if, as usual, parts of my analysis is me talking out of my, which I know you guys love to do. So without further ado, Tom, I want one more spin of the wheel.
Okay.
Because I want to have a game that maybe we can try and beat before you come back.
I like that idea.
So go ahead. Right. Spin that wheel. And Tom, you got a game on the wheel that is right up my alley for a type of game that I am super, super good at. What game did you get?
We got Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island for the Super Nintendo.
Platformers. Yes.
Honestly, this game is way less platformer than most Mario games.
Yes. I'm glad we got this one. I only had slight behind the curtain. I only had one restriction, that it needed to be N64 or older. So we basically eliminated our PS2 games. That technically fall within the year thing, which makes me feel like an old person. And eliminated, you know, most of the PS1 stuff because I wanted to get something older. And I'm glad this was the first one that the wheel fell on here. So, yeah, I have played this a little bit. I've watched people play through it to completion. I feel that this will be a little bit easier to beat. It seems like it's a little less, you know, difficult.
It's a little less platformer-y than
most. I just gotta learn how to shoot the eggs.
Yeah.
Is really all I gotta figure out here. And then, you know, if I beat the game pretty easily, just straight through, which I doubt I will, we can always go back and try and, you know, do the 100% thing of getting all the right coins and all that stuff if we still have time. But yeah, so the plan is, you know, with Tom gone, I am not 100% sure if we're going to do the podcast proper like we've been doing. Tom and I are throwing around some ideas where I'll just take the audio from some of the YouTube stuff that I have planned and throw them up as audio additions into the podcast channel. I am definitely looking to do like an hour, like half hour to hour news show at least once a week. Probably on Fridays, you know, or Thursdays, you know, just so we can keep it on the same week rotation when I'm looking up stories. And I could probably pop those on as podcasts every week. But yeah, for most part, we're going to be focusing on, I'll still be streaming my big long games on the weekends, whether it's afternoons or evenings on Saturday and Sundays. Now that I have my Friday nights available, if I don't have any life plans, that can be a night opened up to playing something. But the thing that is definitely set in stone is the reason I had Tom spin the wheel for a final time is I think what I'll do every Monday is, you know, we'll play through for an hour. We'll make it a short stream, you know, hour, and see how far I can get or beat Super Mario 2 Yoshi's Island. If we do beat it, and there's plenty of time left, and we even beat the 100% thing, you know, we'll figure something else out. But I do want to keep at least the Mondays open. So definitely streams at least 2 times a week, Monday and then one of the weekend days. In some cases, might get up to as high as 4 or 5 in terms of playing games. And then Fridays, or Thursdays or Fridays, you know, at the end of the week, will be the new show that will be no video games on there. So everything will be live on Twitch. Depending on work schedule, softball schedule, all that stuff, there may be YouTube exclusive videos going up at the aforementioned My Thoughts on Rebirth. So make sure you subscribe there, as we're going to try and build up that a little bit, because going forward with a child for Jen and 2 children for Tom, it may be easier to make video content for you guys to where we can record it on a Saturday afternoon, you know, or something like that, and put it up on YouTube rather than trying to stream for you guys. So that is the plan going forward. We're thinking 3 to 4 months, I would think.
Yeah, you know, at least.
Could be longer, could be shorter. Just depending on, you know, how the babies are. You know, if the Aquino baby sleeps a lot, even as a young toddler, you know, Jen might be back a little bit quicker. Because, you know, Tom does have the 2-year-old to look after as well. So his stay is a little bit longer out just for that fact. So just tune in. Keep it. I'll try and keep the Twitter updated as much as possible in terms of when we're going live with things and stuff like that. But yeah. Yeah. I hope you guys stay along for the ride. You know, it's fun. We do this for you guys. And, you know, and I like doing it or else we wouldn't do it. Obviously. So yeah, that is the plan. I will try and articulate this in the podcast thing below. So for those of you that read that stuff, you probably were spoiled for what the end of this podcast is. But yeah, looking forward to that. So yeah, for one final time, Tom, good luck.
Thank you.
And this is not goodbye. This is see you later.
That's right.
And for everyone out there, for the game podcast proper here, or Prime, you know, maybe we'll call it. We will see you, be on a little hiatus, and we'll see you next time, hopefully, with the full group back. Bye!